ولله الحمد. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله. الله أكبر الله أكبر. ولله الحمد.
Let me say it once.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله. الله أكبر الله أكبر. ولله الحمد. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا Allah is greater suggests 1, 2, 3. Good, better, best, as we say. You know? Allah is greater implies there's nothing but defeat. There's no failure. There's a law of initiation. The Hebrew word of initiation. Allahu Akbar, the Allah is greater than anything you can imagine. But whatever we can imagine is of our own human creation, initiation. So whatever can come in your mind, Allah is greater. That's Allahu Akbar. And then he said, La ilaha illallah. So nothing is worthy of me to worship that, or to give prayers, or to pray the best of that, except that one. Why should I pray for something inferior to that? Or why should I give my devotion and worship to something less than that? My devotion then should be for the goodness, not for any of the truth, any middle person. So La ilaha illallah means my devotion, my worship is only for Allah. I wish there no ilah except Allah. And then we say, well, Lillahi Hamd. That same one deserves all the praise, all the credit, because everything came because of him, because of his graces, because of his mercy and grace, all the other things came. So if you understand the meaning, then you can follow the logic of the text, the sequence of the text. You see? Now that I say it again, you won't have a better feeling for it. Allahu Akbar. I say Allahu Akbarullah. Allahu Akbarullah Akbar. So every day it flows smoothly. It flows very smoothly. And many of the Eastern languages flow like that. All of them flow smoothly. But Allahu Akbar, you say the action on the last letter is root. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So you connect the root with the L of Allah, and it becomes Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. You stop on the last one. You don't say Akbar at the last one. La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. And if you say it that way, you find you won't have no faith, so smoother. And you won't have to catch it, you won't have to catch up. Some of you, I see you're trying to catch up because you're saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And you're saying it four times, right in succession, and that is succession. And it's hard to say it, but if you say it, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allah, 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 You notice you say four, takbir, then la ilaha illallah, then two takbir, and then walillahi alhamd. So in all, that's six takbir. Ending with an ikrar in the face, walillahi alhamd. So he said, getting near now at 10 o'clock, we're going to begin in just a few minutes. Anyone, just on his own impulse, can stop the car from any time. And if anyone who feels to stop the car, anyone can stop it.
Allah, 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 Allah. Thank you.
Allah, 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 All
and take and make sure you have enough room. If you have to, you can come up with the front mouth and come up from it.
الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين
إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى وأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بوعد ربك فحمد. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر مسأله الخير ونحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Muslims, we thank Allah for blessing us with this day to have completed our fast and to come to the Eid and be present here for the Eid. We know that the word Eid means something that reoccurs. We have this special day reoccurring once a year and in the month of Shawwal, the first day after the month of Fast. And we are to observe the prayer, the Salat, and the Eid, and give the khutbah for the of the Eid in the morning time after the sun has risen above the eye level and before the sun has reached the zenith, the top, the noon point. I would like
for us to have the right frame of mind for this spirit, for this deed, the spirit of this age. It is a spirit of thanksgiving, of victory, because we have achieved the victory, those who have completed their fair. And this is a victory that gives us discipline for Allah's pleasure. So we have fast 30 days for Allah's pleasure, restraining our appetites for Allah's pleasure, to obey Him and Him alone. We know that we get many benefits from fasting during the month of Ramadan, but the greatest of all benefits to ever come to humanity is the Quran, which was revealed to Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, in the month of Ramadan. Dear beloved Muslims, I would now like to read a few verses from Quran concerning revelation and the attitude of believers. Allah the Most High says in Quran, Al-Haqqu min Rabbik, Al-Haqqu min Rabbik, the truth, the truth, the real truth, the actual fact truth, the better than this world science truth, more accurate than this world science. That's this book, the Quran. Allah the Most High says, Al-Haqqu min Rabbika, فَلَا تَقُولَنَّ مِنَ الْمُمْتَرِينَ. So be not of those who doubt. This is indeed the truth, the best, the truth, the exact truth, more scientific than your science. And it has been revealed, and it shouldn't be doubted. Dear beloved Muslims, we should also be aware that this message was given or revealed to a human being. The highest knowledge for human beings was revealed to a human being, and not a human being of this world soon. A human being that was not educated in this world sense of education. Not a son of the scholar, not a scholar, but one of the Ummiyun. Ummiyun means one with just mother wit, but not attended the formal schools to be educated by the learned people. He was not familiar with their knowledge. He only had the natural knowledge that human beings get just from growing up under mama and in the community. So he was one called in many translations the unlettered, the unlettered, the unschooled, the unlettered prophet. Isn't it wonderful that Allah chose not the leaders of this world, the intellectuals, but a common human being that everyone can identify with? If he had chosen one of the learned people, a scientist, then we wouldn't think that we could follow that scientist. Many of us who are uneducated, we thought he was a scientist, he was an intellectual. But no, he was just like you. Even more important is this, that Allah can teach without men to help. He has no men to help him teach Prophet Muhammad. He took the illiterate, as some translations call say. He took the unlettered, unschooled person of the common masses because of his excellence of character. because of his sincere and pure devotion, because of his sincere sentiments for humanity, because of his desire for social justice, because of his high and excellent spirituality, all which is possible for the common man. You don't have to be educated by this world to have any of that. And Allah took that common man because of the excellence of his heart and his nature and his mind, and he revealed to him knowledge. Dear beloved Muslims, Allah says in Quran that he revealed it, the Quran, in the month of Ramadan. In the month of Ramadan. And those who would like to benefit from that Quran, shouldn't they seek the virtues that Ramadan induces in us? In fasting the month of Ramadan, restraining our own selfish appetites for Allah's pleasure, virtues are induced in us that make us not only safe for society, but make us good for society. For the Muslim who fasts, he feels the heart pain in his stomach, and he's fasting to please Allah, so that makes him think of his brother who didn't have good dinner in the month before, and perhaps won't have a good dinner in the month coming. So it makes him sensitive to the suffering of his brothers and sisters. It makes him feel charity in his heart. He's doing it for Allah, and he feels a victory in doing good for Allah's sake, and then he realizes that I don't have to have all the stuff I've been having in my life. I don't have to eat all the food I've been eating. I can share some. Look how good I feel after pleasing Allah. I've been fasting and doing with love and suffering hunger. I can share now. I can suffer for Allah's sake. And if we can suffer for Allah's sake, then we can do what we should do to make society a better society. But nothing else can make a human being come to that degree of discipline and that awareness of the need for him to be charitable to a human being, to his fellow man. Nothing can do that except the worship of the one true Allah. We can have the great impressive personalities that come among us, with fancy flowery speech and great philosophy, and they can charm us and win us over. But when the real test comes, we back on out, and we leave the great personality there to roll the hoe by himself. Or to hoe the roll by himself. But nothing else can make a human being come to that degree of discipline and that awareness of the need for him to be charitable to a human being, to his fellow man. Nothing can do that except the worship of the one true Allah. We can have the great impressive personalities can come among us with fancy flowery speech and great philosophy, and they can charm us and win us over. But when the real test comes, we back on out, and we leave the great personality there to roll the hoe by himself. Or to hoe the roll by himself. But if Allah is indeed in our heart, if Allah is indeed in our heart, and if we are doing it for Allah's pleasure, the hardship comes in good. And we even keep a good spirit. And even when you're moaning and crying, you're pain, you're suffering, you're screaming and twisting under the pain, someone says, how do you feel? Alhamdulillah. Because this is for Allah's pleasure. And the anticipation of what Allah will give me for obedience, oh, just drowns out all the thoughts of pain and suffering. So man, you're screaming and hollering and you're twisting and pain and you say, all things you do to Allah, you don't know what's happening on the other side. Yes. The pleasure of Allah is the greatest pleasure. If we earn that, we have the greatest pleasure. Happiness for us is in obeying Allah. Dear beloved believers, Let me read now again from Quran the chapter called the height, Surah Al-A'raf, beginning with the 157th verse. Those who follow the messenger, the prophet, who can neither read nor write, this translation says. الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّيَّ الَّذِي يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِندَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ